Okay, ready.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to this lovely service today. It's a special one today. And I'd just like to say that I had no traffic jam this morning. That's amazing. We're from the north, we're from the south, we're from all over. We're an international church. And I'd just like to say today is a special day. The sun is out shining. And let the words of the Lord shine in our hearts also today. Also, today is a special day for somebody that I know, and maybe you know. There's somebody's birthday today. And that is Brother Winston Whitehead. So I think we should sing that lovely song that we know well. Yes, it is. You know the song? Shall we start it? Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
May the good Lord bless you.
And it was Rose's birthday too. Now,
oh, darling, oh, darling, now.
It's Rose's birthday too. Happy birthday, Rose.
Happy birthday, Rose.
Birthday, Rose.
Thank you.
Happy birthday, Rose.
Thank you.
At this time, we're going to have a word of prayer as we continue our service. So I'll just like you to bow your heads and make yourself available as we seek the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your constant blessing to us. We thank you for today, a special day today. It's your Sabbath day, and also it's a day in which we come together to fellowship, to worship. It's been a difficult time for us, dear Father. It's been a confusing time for us. Ups and downs and many questions asked. But Lord, we ask you to come by us today and that you dwell amongst us in spirit and in truth, that we will hear a word from you. We ask, Lord, that you be with every family that is represented here today, dear Father, that we will truly seek you for your guidance, that will seek you for your presence, that will seek you for your righteousness. Lord, we ask in a special way also that you would remember those who are hurting at this time, those who have lost their loved ones, those who are grieving. A difficult time indeed, dear Father. But Lord, I pray that you would be with the families, Lord, the Baggett's families, the Smith's family, that you would be them, dear Father, and continue to put your loving arms around them and clothe them in your righteousness. Father, let us who are part of the church family also give our support in every way we could. Let us have the right spirit there, Father, in helping each other, in lifting each other. We ask that you dwell amongst us, Lord. There are those who are on the streets, who are maybe suffering from want of food, help us, Lord, to make ourselves available where we can help in the community and ourselves. We pray in a special way, Father, the illness that you will beat them. Remember our church family also who have recovered from the hospital. We're thinking of Brother Pyle and also Jennifer Hamilton and Jackie Payton, that you will beat them also. We ask that you will continue to bless them and keep them, dear Father. May they continue to give you praise and thanks. And may we continue, Lord, dear Father, to seek you honestly in our lives. Father, today we pray, Lord, that your blessings will be amongst us, Lord. And help us, Lord, to live that life which is important, Lord. Help us to share your word with others. Help us to live circumspectly and respectful lives. May the light that you've given us, dear Father, may continue to burn in our hearts, in our minds. And as we speak, dear Father, may it be a blessing to others. As we walk, dear Father, may they see a difference in us. As we talk, dear Father, may it be a reflection of your truth in us. Now we pray. In Jesus' word and name, amen.
So our opening hymn today is hymn 92. You won't be able to sing on this platform because there's a delay, but I will be playing it on the screen. It's hymn 92. This is My Father's World. Howard.
Good morning, everyone. The scripture reading will be done by myself and Wilma, and we are doing it from Job 42, 1 to 6, and then 10 to 17. I will read 1 to 6, Wilma will read 10 to 17. Then Job answered, and I'm reading from the King James Version. I don't have the other version available at the moment. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be hidden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Here I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eyes seeth thee. Six. Therefore I abhor myself and repent in the dust and ashes.
Verse 10. And the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friend. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then all his brothers, all his sisters, and all those who had been his acquaintances before came to him and ate food with him in his house. And they consoled him and comforted him for all the adversaries that the Lord had brought upon him. Each one gave him a piece of silver and each a ring of gold. Now the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 female donkeys. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he called the name of the first Jemima, Jemmy. The name of the second, Keziah, and the name of the third, Keren Hapuch. In all the land were found none, in all the land were found no women so beautiful as the daughters of Job, and their father gave them an inheritance among their brothers. After this, Job lived 140 years and saw his children and grandchildren for 4 generations. So Job died old and full of days.
Thank you so much, Howard and Sister Wilma. Really appreciate that. It is now time for our sermon. So if you join, just try and keep it muted so there's not any feedback. It's my pleasure to welcome the speaker for today. It's the first time he is speaking to us. You may not have heard of him before, or you may not have seen him before. But I'd like to welcome him, his pastor, Augustus Lawrence. And I pray that the words that he has for us today will plant a seed in us and will grow. Pastor, over to you.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. All of you are muted.
Yes.
But it's good to see all of you. Good to see you, Sister Brown. I like your afro, though. I like your hat. A nice hat. I'm growing some afro. But I'm happy to share today. I'm not preaching. And, you know, I would like you to perhaps, you know, if you want to say something, I don't know how you're going to work this out, Nicole, but.
They just need to just raise your hand and I'll see you. Bear in mind, there's quite a bit of us on here. So I'm moving between 3 screens. So if you just raise your hand, it will pop up and I will, I'll unmute you. Okay. Awesome.
It's a real good feeling to be on this platform, sharing. I'm just sharing here voluntarily, and I'm so happy to see all of you and to connect with you, and to just say it's a good feeling to see you. Barbara is at the back there with her mother. Her mother has been here with us. Her mother turns 80 this July, and it's been very interesting. Nathan is upstairs in his bedroom. Enoch is upstairs in his bedroom. Luther is no longer with us. He's moved on. But I'm happy to share today from a very interesting passage of scripture that I believe you have read before. But, you know, I feel it is relevant for this time. And so I want to share with you lessons that we can learn from Job's experience. And that's 7 of them I've listed, 7 lessons we can learn from Job's experience. I want this to be as interactive as possible, but don't take over. You know, I'm just letting you know. But let's pray. God of our Father, you who gave us breath and life, we've come to express our gratitude to you for your blessings, for your mercies upon us, your kindness, This morning, we lift up our voice and we say, praise be to God for your grace, for your long suffering towards us, for keeping us, protecting us, and providing for us, and sustaining us. This morning, as we look at your word, as we look at the life of Job and you learn lessons to help us in our Christian walk, open our eyes, our understanding, open our minds that we may see spiritually, open our hearts that we may receive words, that messages that are relevant for our time, this very time, as we journey to the kingdom. Bless us, and thank you for hearing us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so Job 42. I want you to look at those verses that Howard and Wilman read so nicely. I want you to look at verse 1. He says, I'm reading from the NIV. Then Job replied to the Lord. In verse 2, he says, I know, this is Job talking. He says, I know that you can do all things. I know that you can do all things. Now, all this while, Job has been talking. You know, Job has been talking and talking, asking God a lot of questions. Perhaps some of you may be asking today or have been asking before. He's been asking a lot of questions. And guess what? God doesn't answer his question. He doesn't answer his question. And then Job now says, I know that you can do all things. Does anybody know what Job is saying, that I can do all things? What he means by that, I know you can do all things. Well, perhaps let me just share with you. Firstly, the first lesson we can learn from Job is that Job is saying that there is nothing God cannot do. Are you with me? That's the first lesson we can learn from this. That there is nothing God cannot do. He says, you can do all things. In other words, Job is saying that God is omnipotent. He just all powerful. You know, there's no limits to what God can do. He needs no approval. He doesn't need Sister Brown to approve the money before he can use it. So he needs no approval. He faces no, there's nothing that can hinder what he wants to do. There's nothing that can resist what God can do. Job is saying that God, that remember now where he's coming from. Remember where he's coming from, right? Remember where Job is coming from. Remember the areas of his life that the enemy has attacked. Remember his children. Remember his asset. Remember his health. You know, and Job has been asking God all these questions. And God didn't answer one of his questions. So Job is saying in verse 2, he says, I know that you can do all things. There is nothing that you cannot do. So God is all powerful. God is all independent, and we need to know this. This is very important for us. There's nothing that can deplete his plans for us. There's nothing that can derail his plans for us. There's nothing that can, you know, push away his plans for us. Doesn't matter what happens in our lives. There's absolutely nothing. Now, that's the first thing we must remember. Job is saying, verse 2, I know that you can do all things. And then the second thing we can learn from Job's life is in the second part of verse 2. I read it from NIV. He says, no plan of yours, listen to these words, no plans of yours can be thwarted. What does that mean? Anybody? He said, there's no plans of yours that can be thwarted. Anybody?
Yes, Pastor.
Go ahead, Aaron. Aaron, go ahead.
Can you hear me and see me? Yeah?
Yes, I can hear you. I can hear you.
I was going to say that perhaps it means that there are things that God will do that we might not understand, from a human perspective at least. Job said that God's plan can't be thwarted. Is that what you said, Pastor? It can't be thwarted.
Yes.
That's what the verse says. Yeah?
Yeah.
So it means that, I guess from our perspective, mean we might not be able to see everything that God's doing, but his plan is perfect. Whether we choose to believe so or not is a different story, but God is basically saying to us, you know, this is it. His plan is perfect, and that's the end of the story, really. Whether we can see it or not is a different argument altogether, but you get what I'm trying to say, isn't it?
Yeah. Good.
Thank you, Aaron.
Anybody else?
Jeanette, go ahead.
I'm reading from the New King James Version, and I think it makes it really plain. It says, and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you.
Yes.
So that says it all.
That's always correct. So Jeanette, what it's saying is that God's purposes, or God's purpose for your life, there is nothing that can frustrate his purposes for your life. And what that text is saying, it doesn't mean that you will not have problems. It doesn't mean that difficulties will not come to you. It doesn't mean that things you didn't plan for in your life will not happen to you. But it's saying, you're correct, that no purpose of yours can be cut off. And that's deep.
Mm.
Yeah. So when you and I experience things that you didn't plan for, so a family that goes through divorce, a person can ask, if you're telling me that, Lord, is this part of your plan for my life? Yeah. God, Job is making it clear that no one can cancel God's agenda for your life. God has an agenda for you, and there is no one who can cancel that out. That's his second lesson. So the first one is, Job is saying, we're learning from Job's life. He says, I know that you can do all things. There's nothing impossible for you. Number two, second thing he's saying is that nobody can cancel out God's plans for your life. Nobody can frustrate it. Nobody can, you know, derail it. God has a specific plans for you and me, and there's nothing that can cancel that out. I want that to sink. So think about all of the emotional pain that he went through. Think about all the physical pain that he went through. You know, not long ago, I had a boil. I don't know where that boil came from. I won't tell you where it was. Raymond, you're laughing. I went to the chemist, and they couldn't help me. Are you hearing me? I went to the chemist. They couldn't help me. I just have to stay and bear the physical pain. Think about all the emotional pain that a man went through. You know, you know, I had a cut somewhere, I think it was under my foot, and you should have seen me how I was miserable the whole day. But this brother had all kinds of boils all over his body. Think about his physical pain. And he is saying to God that I know that, you know, there is nothing that can ward off, that can ward off your plans for my life, or ward off your hands. No, there's nothing, absolutely nothing. He said, I know you can do all things, number one. Number two, he says, I know that your purpose for my life cannot be canceled out. Now remember now, God has never answered any of his questions. All the questions he's been asking God, never, not one of them been answered. So the third, that's the second lesson. The third lesson brings us to the third lesson. God's plans are beyond our understanding. Verse 3, you ask, who is this that obscures my counsel without knowledge? What Job is saying is that God's plans are beyond our understanding. They are too deep to explain. God's plans are beyond our understanding, too deep to explain. We need to digest that a little bit. You know, a year ago, my younger brother died on his birthday, you know. Horrific car accident. He wasn't drunk. He wasn't sick. He was just driving. He had an accident. He died on the spot. Up to now, I'm still asking questions. Why? 53. He was 53. Left a young family. And I'm asking why. Is it true that I don't understand what God is trying to do? I don't really know what he's trying to do. God's plans are beyond our understanding and too deep to explain. What is God's plan for your life? Are you struggling with a particular issue in your life and you're wondering, God, what is your plan for my life? I must be honest with you. There are times I'm very disappointed with God. Have you ever been disappointed? At times I'm very, very much disappointed with God. I've done what was right. I've done all you asked me to do. Now, look at. You know, I remember one Sabbath, we were having communion service at one church many years ago. And this brother, you know, I think we had finished washing our feet. And he came and hugged me, gave me a tight hug. Then I felt water down, you know, my neck. I wonder what it was. I thought it was wet towel, but actually he was crying. Because the Friday he had received news that his prostate cancer had reached to a stage of absolutely nothing the doctors could do. And he asked me, he said, Pastor, what have I done? I've been faithful the most part of my life. Why this time of my life that I have this illness? He was very, very, very much disappointed. And he asked, how could God permit such a thing to happen to me? I also remember I was talking to a sister who I had gone to see. She had stomach cancer, and she was in the hospice. She told me her story about, you know, how she'd done everything right. She didn't understand what was going on. It was a very painful time. And she was asking God a lot of questions. She was very much disappointed in what had happened to her. I also remember I went to see a very close friend of ours who died last year. Healthy, very, very healthy, young lady, healthy, you know. Exercise fanatic, health fanatic, everything. And within like 18 months, she just went down and deteriorated. I went to see her. But at that time, in my meeting with her, she was very, very jovial, very, very upbeat, very, very grateful to God. She said to me, she called me Gus. She said, Gus, I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to ask God questions. I'm not disappointed in God. If this thing that I'm going through is meant to bring glory or the glorification of God, then so be it. And in the hospice where she was giving Bible studies to the other patients. But there are times that things happen to us where we are very much disappointed with God. Very much. But this third lesson we learned from Job, so God's plans are beyond our understanding and too deep to explain. Some of the things that happen to us, I don't have any explanation. Some of the things that happen to me, I don't have any explanation. I can explain. There's no way I can explain. Why death would take a father from his children, from his wife. Why would this brother go through depression? Why this thing happened to this sister, this brother, been faithful all through his life? God's plans are beyond our understanding, and too deep for us to understand. Does that make sense to you? Does it make sense to you? Anybody? Does it make sense?
If anyone wants to raise their hand, just let me know. I'll unmute you. Denise, I'm coming to you. Go ahead. Denise? Me? Yes.
I think if we're honest with ourselves, sometimes it doesn't make sense because as humans, we like answers to every single question that we ask. And sometimes life isn't like that. And it can be difficult to accept. And that's when we have to put all the promises that we read in the Bible and that we like to recite, we have to put those into practice when those times come. Because when you get those kind of situations, I always remember that text in Isaiah when he says, when you pass through the fire, he will be with you. And when you go in, when you're in the water, you will not drown. The text doesn't say you won't fall into the water. And the text doesn't say there will be no fire. And for me personally, I can only talk for myself. When you're going through something where you're wondering, why is this happening or why this or why that? What helps to keep me spiritually sane is to remember texts like that, because at the end of the day, good and bad will fall on everybody, whether you're a follower of Jesus or not. Mm-hmm. Just like the rain falls on the Jesus said the rain falls on the just and the unjust. Unfortunately, good things have bad things happen to good people, what we consider good people. Mm-hmm. And it's difficult to admit sometimes to people who are not believers or even to ourselves that we just don't understand. Right now, we can't see the end. We can't see the answer. But when we go through certain things and you look back over your life, you wouldn't have it any other way because you see God has brought you through it.
This service was so nice.
Say hey, Don.
Anyone else?
Okay.
Go ahead, Pastor. No one else is raising their hand.
And the thing about it, God doesn't explain himself. You know, we all want answers, yes. Now, if the Lord were to explain to us why certain things happen, would it take away the pain? No, I don't think so. And, you know, if we go a little step further, we see that maybe God doesn't explain himself because we are not capable enough of understanding his answers. We're not capable of understanding his answers. All right, let's look at the fourth lesson we can learn from Job. Now that's verses 4-6. And the fourth lesson is, only through God's instruction are we able to humble ourselves and rest in his will. Only through God's instructions, we are able to humble ourselves and rest in his will. So verse 4-6, he said, "Hear now, and I will speak. I will ask you, and you instruct me. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore, I retract and I repent in dust and ashes." What did Job say? I think Job is saying that I don't have any argument. I don't have a case. Yes? He said, I don't have a case. I don't have any argument. On the contrary, what he is saying is, I retract, I repent of all the foolish things I've said. And what he's saying, in essence, yes, he's saying that there's absolutely no argument that I have. I repent for asking all these questions that I've asked. And he says, therefore, I retract and I repent in dust and ashes. I repent for all that has happened. I repent and I retract all the things that I've said. In 1 Peter 5, 6-7. Therefore, he says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. You know, at this time of our lives, there's so much anxiety everywhere. Anxiousness, people are worried about the families, worried about the jobs, worried about the future, worried about the children. There's so much anxiousness. So much anxiousness. The government help line where it provides help for people in need who have emotional needs. It's overrun, and you know, so many needs, so much so that the local councils are looking for people who can provide counseling assistance to people who are in need. It's not anxiety. People are so anxious. I think this is one of the times that we can make ourselves available to people around us. So much anxiety. And Peter is saying that at this proper time, casting all your anxiety on him, because what? He does what? He cares for you. That's a full blessing. Number five. Here's what number five says. When the day of reckoning, we are ready for a fifth lesson. Here's a fifth lesson. When the day of reckoning arrives, God is always fair. When the day of reckoning arrives, God is so much fair. And verse 7. Here's what verse 7 says. Job 42 and verse 7. After the Lord has said these things to Job, he said to Eliphaz the Temanite, I am angry with you and your two friends because you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has. Wow. All this while, listen to what God is saying to him. You have not spoken. You have not been fair. You have not been fair. Have you ever seen people like that around you who misrepresent, give information that's not correct, who may give information that, you know, rightly just not correct? Yeah? It's not fair. But he says that, and the Lord said to him, look, I'm angry with you and the two friends because you have not spoken of me what is right. You have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has. You have not spoken to me what is right. You have not. Yeah? You have not spoken to me what is right. Now here's the sixth lesson. No one can become compared to God when it comes to blessings. What does the Bible say? It says in verses over in 42. If you read down, you'll see here in verse, let's see the verse. It's verse 9 to verse 13. Verse 9. So God says, reading from verse 8. So now take 7 bulls and 7 rams and go to my servant Job and sacrifice a burnt offering for yourselves. My servant Job will pray for you and I will accept his prayer and not to deal with you according to your folly. Wow. You have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has. And the Bible shows us how God is now saying to Job, his friends, you have not done what is right. So go now to him, go now to Job. Go to him. And what is he going to do? He is going to pray for you. And the Bible says that Job prayed for his friends. And what happened after Job prayed for his friends? What happened after he prayed for his friends? The Bible says something happened. Somebody want to say something?
Yes,
he gave Job twice as much as he had before. So when Job prayed for his friends, he turned around his situation and God blessed him and he multiplied. So he had twice as much as he had before.
Yeah. What can we learn from that?
It's to show that in life, sometimes we must not only focus on ourselves and all our problems and our worries, but also if we have time to help and bless others, God will bless us in return. And that's the most important thing. And it shows this in this time also, when a lot of people focusing on themselves and not on each other. And what I've learned from all that is happening is that relationship with each other and God is very important now, because everything else that we have is of no value. So this just brings it home to us more today that, yes, Job, no matter what he was going through and no matter how he lost everything, he still had time to help and bless others. And that is very important.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Camille.
Thank you so much. Anybody else?
Anyone else? Just raise your hand up. Sharon, go ahead. Yeah, Sharon, go ahead. Yes.
It's also saying that, you know, we should bless people who speak evil things about us, because here was his friends. They were not speaking the truth about him, and they should know him, that he's an upright man. And, you know, they were saying that, you know, he must have done something wrong. And, you know, Job know that he lived an upright life. And, you know, Job turned around and blessed them. You know, even though they were speaking evil against about him, not really evil, but they were saying things that were not right. So we also should bless people who put us down and, you know, accuse us. We should also bless them and not, you know, be angry or, you know, speak evil things about them.
Sonia, go ahead.
Yeah. What I found fascinating in this verse is that God said to his friends, you have to take the animals and you have to offer up a sacrifice, and then you have to ask Job for forgiveness. You have to ask Job for forgiveness. And what Job did was to forgive them and pray for them. And he was so genuine in his prayer that God accepted the prayer and forgiveness and forgave them. And that's, I mean, that is Job's purity of heart in spite of how his friends had treated him. And it's not easy for any of us to have close friends who look on us and say, no, you must have done something wrong. And then to turn around while you're still in the situation and forgive them and speak and pray for them with a genuine heart, to the point that God accepted the prayer and forgave them. And that is just mind-boggling. Yeah.
One more, Pastor.
Pardon?
One more. Howard, go ahead.
Yeah, I just believe that we the mercy of God is so vast that God is saying, although you did not represent me, I could have just dealt with you my way. But this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you a way out. I'm going to tell you what you need to do. And if you do it, I'm not going to deal with your folly. Because remember they were saying to Job, as Sonny was saying, you must have done something. They didn't give God any credit at all. And God is saying, now, since you did it, I could have just dealt with you for your silliness. And humanly, we'd have said, okay, I'm not going to talk to you, or I'm done with you. You're not my friend anymore. But God chose to give them the chance to repent and to show that they are willing to repent. And that is a mercy. God's mercy is also wide. He could have not dealt with them. He could have just told them what he's telling them, wipe them off, or finish with them. But he gave them chance to experience his mercy.
Winston? Sorry, Pastor. Winston? Unmute. Go ahead.
Sorry, I just realized, reading this and the text before, it's God is saying that it's a hard lesson. That God is saying, don't question me at all. And we all do it. We all say, why? You know, we think it's reasonable. You know, it's reasonable to say, God, why? But God, but when in verse 5 and 6, he's realized that, as we learned, that God's plans are so beyond us that there's no point asking. And God is saying that don't question me. Because, you know, when we go all the way back to the beginning, the very first independent thing we did was Adam and Eve, and look at the results. So God doesn't want to be questioned. And once Job realizes that, and he gives it all up, and which is what I think God is asking us to do, which for me is very hard. I will always want to ask why. But once Job has come to that point, that's when he now turns his attention to his friends.
Thank you, Winston. Go ahead, Pastor.
We're coming to the end. So the sixth lesson we can learn, as I said, is no one can be compared to God when it comes to blessing. So we see, as Howard has said and Sonia said, that in verse 9, the last part of verse 9, we see that God accepted Job's prayer. You know, God accepted. This is a divine favor God is showing here. God accepted Job's prayer. You look in the end of verse 10, God restored. We see the last part in verse 10. And the beginning of verse 12, we see God increased. And we see the last part of these verses, verse 15, God blessed. You see that? God blessed. So here's the seventh lesson. The seventh lesson is that only God can fill our final years with divine blessings that no one else can fill us with. So what it says here, listen to what it says. Verse 12. The Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life. You see that? More than the first. God blessed his latter part. In other words, the last part was part of his life was full of more blessings than his previous. He had 14,000 sheep, you know, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 donkeys. Verse 13. And he also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. The first daughter, you see her name, Jemima. The second, Keziah. The third, Karen Hapoch. And it says in verse 15, nowhere in all the land where they found women as, Lord have mercy, as Job's daughters. And their father granted them an inheritance along with their brothers. After this, here's a blessing now. After this, Job lived. So after all of these events in his life, the Bible says he lived 140 years. Can you see that? More blessings added. And he saw their children to the fourth generation, 4 generations down the line. What more can he ask for? May these 7 lessons we learned from the life of Job help us as we journey to the kingdom and as we relate to one another, helping us to enhance our relationship, knowing that at the end of the day, what really matters is the way we connect with God and associate with our fellow brothers and sisters. May God bless us today. Amen.
Thank you so much, Pastor. Amen. Thank you. Really appreciate you volunteering your time to speak to us today. And I pray that as we think about these lessons, that they resonate with us in our lives. The first lesson was that God can do all things. The second lesson was no one can derail God's plan for our lives. He has a purpose for each and every one of us. The third lesson was that God's plan are beyond our understanding and our comprehension. Too deep to explain. The fourth lesson was only through God's instructions, we are able to humble ourselves and rest in his will. I see you, Raymond. I'm coming to you. Lesson number 5 was when God's reckoning comes, he is very fair in how he deals with us. Number 6, no one can be compared to God when it comes to blessing us. And the last lesson is God will fill our final years with blessings that no one else can. Raymond, go ahead.
Oh, we were saying amen.
Ah, okay. Amen. Amen. So thank you so much for being with us today. It was such a blessing. And I concur with my sister, and I hope she doesn't mind me saying this, who Raquel, I hope you don't mind me saying this. I was emotional as well when I saw everyone on here. God is so good, so good. And it's so great to see all your faces. And I'm really happy that we could come together like this. And I pray this is not the last time that we can come together like this. And kind of support and be there for each other. As we go into our final song and prayer, I will leave the Zoom running if you kind of want to chat with each other. So I will leave it running so you can kind of talk with each other. But it was a real blessing to celebrate the Sabbath with you today. A real, real blessing. And if we can just, you know, keep this going forward, just to remember that we don't need to be in a building to kind of look out and be there for each other. Let's try and be there for each other at all times. And just thank you again for joining together. And I pray we can continue this. So our hymn to finish is...
Before we pray,
yes.
Before we sing, your church has been through a very emotional time over the last couple of months. Apart from the lockdown, it's been deaths in the church. It's never happened before, at least in my experience. What I want to encourage you to do is to continue to pray for one another, encourage one another. Hold together, continue to hold together. Do less criticism. Appreciate one another. Whatever thoughts or seeing other person's life, pray for them. See the good things in people's lives. Yes? And your church will grow from strength to strength, and your life will continue to be blessed.
So our hymn to finish is hymn number 286, and it's Wonderful Words of Life.
Wonderful words of love.
Amen. You can pray now, Pastor, to finish.
Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the time we spend together, just sharing from the life of Job. What a lesson today you've taught us. What it means to still be committed to you, to face adversaries, to face the unfortunate things of life and still be connected to you. These are difficult days, Lord, and I pray for every person bound, every family represented here on this platform, and those who are not. Lord, as we endure physical and emotional pain, we pray that you open our eyes, you open our minds, you open our hearts, that we will still be in tune to you, to know that you care about us. May the life of Job serve as a lesson to us, to remind us of your constant love for us. That we may not have all the answers to all the questions that we have, but sure enough, you are in control and you will continue to be in control of our lives and our destiny. Help us, Lord, to always remember this. Be with us now as we face a future which we do not know what will happen. But because we know a God who knows the future, we can rest assured that our future is secure with him. Thank you now for hearing us. Amen.
Thank you again so much. I will stop recording now.